Good afternoon, TGP. It's Monday, December 13th, 2021. This is In the Know, episode 24, and the last one of this year, 2021. A week from today, my family, we're leaving to go to see my parents in South Carolina, and we'll be gone pretty much almost till the end of the year. And so we'll be driving when this would come out next week, and then the next week it'll be the couple of days after Christmas. And so we'll wait till the new year to start it up. But let me just give a few quick announcements. First of all, I haven't given anything away in a while, so I'll just say first two people to text me listening to this can pick something out of the prize drawer. So there's that, because don't forget, we have a prize drawer, and we had been doing some trivia questions, and basically the same two people kept answering them, and they about cleaned out the prize drawer. Actually, I just remembered that I didn't give them anything the last time they answered. But anyway, that doesn't matter, because now you have an opportunity. Yes, you listener, whoever this is, you should text me and say, hey, have the prize drawer things been claimed yet? And if they have not, I would be more than happy to hook you up with a prize drawer prize. Okay, let's do a few announcements. December 15th, that is 2 days from today at 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We will be at the Home Alone House, also known as Kevin and Ronnie's House, on 129 Myrtlewood Drive in Pineville. We will be having a men's fellowship there. Jonathan Reynolds is going to make some carnitas, and I've been told that maybe we should ask for some slaw to go with it. So we need people to bring sides. You can sign up on Facebook for a side. You can let us know if you're coming. Just to get a good idea, we'll probably have to bring a couple dollars to help offset some of the cost of that the meat that he went to buy. But I can just assure you that it's going to be delicious. And if you care to get beat at Mario Kart, I would love to oblige, because I'll be there and I will be winning Mario Kart all night long. All right, December the 19th, that is the next Sunday that we meet together. Next Sunday, the very next one. We're going to have a family meeting right after church service to vote on the 2022 budget that we presented. If you need a copy of that, you can reach out to me. I'd love to get you one into your hands. And we're also going to welcome, Lord willing, a new member into our fellowship. So that'll be exciting. Then in January and February, we have the Women's Night of Worship and the Abide Women's Conference coming up. And as always, as I've been saying, I still have a lot of copies of Gentle and Lowly and a few copies of Rediscover Church that are available for you. Okay, very short sermon recap today. Basically, because normally I just unload all of the things, or not even all of them, but many of the biggest things from the day before, from the week before of my study. And I did not study this last week, so I'm just going to make one quick mention of one point. And then I'm going to encourage you to go look at the really funny meme that I am putting in the newsletter. This is a podcast. I can't show you the meme, but it's funny. It's like Bible nerd funny. So you should all go laugh at it. Okay. Rejoicing in suffering is not the same thing as rejoicing over suffering or rejoicing about suffering. I feel like this goes without saying, but I just always want to be really clear. The fact that we can rejoice in our suffering does not mean that the Bible enjoins upon us the duty of rejoicing that we are suffering, or like bitter dark chocolate, like 100% dark chocolate, somehow developing a taste for it so that we wish for it or seek it out. Nor should we feel a sense of guilt if in God's sovereignty we somehow suffer less than others around us. Right, so it's not like, well, I just haven't had a whole bunch of suffering, so I feel like I'm not a great Christian, or I feel like I, you know, whatever. Like I've not had that, so I feel like I'm lacking something. I don't think God intends that for us if we suffer less than other people around us. Like if you have less bad headaches than the person sitting next to you. It doesn't mean that your headaches don't matter to God. It doesn't mean that you aren't suffering in some way, or that it's wrong to call it suffering. Like, you shouldn't feel guilty about that. I don't think God wants that for us. What we are called to is to seek the life the Bible seeks for us, which is everyday, ordinary faithfulness, obedience to His Word, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, loving one another, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and increasingly trusting God's sovereignty. And if God sees fit that we should face affliction, we should ask for relief, and at the same time, ask God that His will would be done, and at the same time, ask Him to make us faithful, even unto death, to strengthen us and make us faithful. We should be prepared to suffer, and hopefully, because of this great gospel, this great good news, we will experience joy in God in the midst of our suffering. But the gospel doesn't make pain and pleasure equivalent experiences. Like, we're not Buddhists, right? Where we're just trying to escape from everything. It doesn't turn the people of God into those who pursue pain and avoid pleasure at all costs. When we suffer, especially if we suffer because we are Christians, we can rejoice in the fact that the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. We can rejoice that God has considered us worthy to suffer for Christ's name, right? His name is so worthy that that to suffer for it is somehow a glory in God's kingdom. We can rejoice because we perceive our treasure is great in heaven. Like Jesus says, you know, blessed are you when people revile and persecute you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And we can rejoice that we are bearing the cruciform image of Jesus, the cross-shaped image of Jesus. But I don't believe any of those men who wrote those words, or Christ himself who spoke those words, would tell the people of God that they ought to crave the beating, the ostracism, or the difficulties, right? Like, that's different. Rejoicing in the middle of your suffering is not the same thing as rejoicing that you're suffering, enjoying the suffering itself, longing to suffer, wishing that we could suffer, praying for suffering. Like, we're to crave Christ, to be faithful to Him no matter what, and to trust God with the outcome, whether we suffer or not. Loving and being faithful to Christ means having joy in Him, not in sufferings. And our overflowing joy in Him will give us joy when we suffer, and when we endure affliction. I've shared in the newsletter an example of faithfulness in the midst of suffering and somehow finding the grace to love and have joy in the midst of it. This tragic story of a police officer who was killed when he was responding to a domestic incident, and his daughter speaks Christ to the, at his funeral, his daughter essentially like speaks Christ to his assailant. And it's heart-wrenching, but it's written by a man named Peter Heck, and it's called This is Christian Triumph. And I just think it's worth the read. I haven't watched the video yet, but if you're so inclined, you can go watch the video at that link. So it's in the newsletter there, but give it a read. This is a picture, an 18-year-old picture of what it looks like to suffer well under God's hand, and somehow to pursue joy in the midst of it, and to offer forgiveness, and to just to see His grace at work and love people. So that's there. Like I said, I've also put a meme in there, and there's also a couple of new links at the bottom you can go check out. But have a great week. I love you, people.